May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live again? As a point of fact, in the adult human, there are 206 bones. And our lesson starts out with our prophet Ezekiel standing in the middle of a valley that is full of bones. And they're not only just bones, they are very dry bones. And they're scattered all over, and they're not nicely placed or anything like that. In other words, there's absolutely no evidence of life in this valley. And what really Ezekiel is doing, he's standing in a mass grave. Now, there's something very profoundly unsettling about a grave. It marks an end. It sets a boundary beyond which we cannot see. The grave, for many, is a place shrouded in silence and finality, a stark reminder of the limits of human strength and understanding. It is not merely the presence of death that unsettles us, but the profound sense of separation that it brings, as if all hope has been swallowed up by the earth. Now, in Ezekiel's vision, the Valley of Dry Bones envisions this particular finality, utter dissolution, lifelessness, hopelessness. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet that prophesied during the 6th century B.C., and during that time, the Babylonians had conquered the Holy Land and taken many people prisoners and came back later and even destroyed the temple and the whole city. So all Israel at this time was in captivity. And Ezekiel was prophesizing. And through a series of visions that the Lord used, Ezekiel, to both explain to the people why these terrible things had befallen them, but more often to tell them the good news that they had not been forsaken. Now, Ezekiel's words are still pertinent for us here today. Here at Concordia, we can still hear these words and make use of them. Ezekiel's vision is terrifying, if you think about it. God has placed him in this unholy, unclean place, a place of mass sin and death, and has shown him the results of what that sin is, and that's an apparent massacre. These bones are not even in a grave. They're just scattered around on the valley floor. God explains to Ezekiel what these represent, and they were the house of Israel, or in our case, the church. In this valley of bones, we see how God immerses his people in suffering in order to bring them salvation. The Israelites' disregard for God's law, especially for the following and their following of false prophets and other false gods, has led to this disaster. But God had never forsaken them, and he never forsakes his people. Today, too, many of us follow false gods. Many of us lust after money, lust after fame, lust in general. Our own importance seems to be more important than anything else. And we deserve anything that befalls us. Yet, on this edge of despair, God speaks. Son of man, can these bones live again? Only the Lord knows. And the Lord acts. He commands the prophet to prophesy. The bones rattle together. They form flesh. They form sinews. And he commands the breath to enter into them. And life returns. God's response to the Valley of Bones is action. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak his word into emptiness. And through that proclamation, life emerges from death. In today's church, we pastors are called to preach the law and the gospel in order that you, too, may have life anew. We give you God's words to meditate on and strengthen your faith. God's power is not limited by our circumstances or our poor words or our failures. Instead, he works in and through our weaknesses bringing to all a renewal when we least expect it. The story reminds us that even when we are only dry bones, God sees the possibilities in us, the possibilities of restoration. And he acts by breathing his spirit into us through the means of grace that we have here. Today, as we reflect on the Valley of Dry Bones, it is important to remember the imagery. It's not only about the physical death, but it's about the spiritual emptiness that follows. The sense of hopelessness that can settle over whole communities such as our church, our town, our country, our nation, and individuals, ourselves alike. The grave, with its silence and finality, represents the places in our lives where our dreams seem to have been buried, relationships fractured, or purpose lost. Yet, in Ezekiel's vision, God asks a question that pierces through that despair. Can these bones live? This question is not just for Ezekiel, but it's for each of us. When we confront the brokenness of our own lives, or we see in our communities, in our church, in our nation, the brokenness that we should not have to see. Ezekiel's answer, "O Lord, you know," captures both humility and trust that he has, and that we should also have. Faced with the impossible, he does not presume, but he neither does he despair. He leaves it with God. God's question is not meant to expose Ezekiel's uncertainty, to point him and us to the one who holds the power over life and death. When our hearts are overwhelmed by what it seems to be hopeless and irreversible, we are invited to rest in God's faithfulness, trusting in his word that can bring forth life from even the most desolate places. Death is a certain theme in the Bible. Sin leads to death. Starting in Genesis 3, when death enters the world, the perfect world, through Good Friday, when death does its worst, up to Easter, when death is defeated. Death is always near. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones confronts our deepest fears about death and the grave. Not to reinforce despair, but to reveal God's power and promises. And that transcends even the most absolute boundaries that any grave could set. In this scene of utter lifelessness, the Valley of the Bones, God's not absent. In this scene of our turmoil in our world, God's not absent. He's actively working, ready to speak life where all seems lost. The grave, then, does not have the final word, for the author of life enters that valley of death and brings restoration and hope. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones also illustrates the power of God's word and spirit to bring life where there is only death. We confess, like those bones, we are spiritually dead. Apart from God's grace, through the proclamation of the gospel and the gift of faith, the Holy Spirit breathes life into us, raising us from spiritual death unto a newness in Christ. This is not our own doing, but God's work alone. Sola gratia, we say, by grace alone. Just as the Lord spoke through Ezekiel to restore Israel's hope, he speaks to us through his means of grace, word and sacrament, and to create and sustain faith. Baptism is our participation in Christ's death and his resurrection. The Lord's Supper is our ongoing nourishment in life, and the grave's fragility is not merely symbolic, but a real promise. Because Christ is risen, we will rise too. Now, the Valley of Bones is not just a story of Israel's failure and the promise of restoration. It is a proclamation of resurrection hope for us today. Our graves, whether they be failures, sorrows, or the shadow of death itself, are not the final word. The same God who breathed life into the dust at creation and raised dry bones to life in Ezekiel's vision, has spoken his promise to you. In Christ Jesus, who was crucified and buried, the grave has become fragile, not strong enough to hold him or you or any of those who believe in him. On Easter morning, the tomb was empty. Christ's resurrection is that guarantee that death does not have the last say over us. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus declares. Because he lives, we live also. Our hope is not wishful thinking. It's anchored in the living Lord, who breaks open the graves for us, gives life to the dead. As he did for Lazarus, he will do for you. And unlike Lazarus, you will never die again. In baptism, you've already died with Christ and been raised with him. The Spirit who raised Christ dwells in you. Even if you face grief and loss or uncertainty, remember this. The grave is fragile. God's word is sure, and his promise stands. He will open your graves and bring you up from them. Listen again to Paul's words that assure us of these things in verses 1 and 2 in his letter to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And in verse 10, but Christ is in you. Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life. There was at one time in certain churches on Easter Sunday a ritual or a rite they called De Risku Paschale, or the Easter laughter. A person would come forward before the start of the service, and at that point, start telling jokes, and the congregation would laugh. They were making fun of death. So I hope you can now see how fragile the grave really is. Because of Christ, there is really no way that the grave can hold us. We can boldly say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So let us live as Easter people, confident in the resurrection and the resurrection promise. Let us comfort one another with the assurance that in Christ death is defeated and that life has the final word, and no grave ever will be able to hold us from the eternal bliss he has prepared for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.